Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are in the second chapter of Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, that's 17b, right in the middle of the page. Where can I tell you to find it? We'll count down 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22 lines from the top at the end of the line. And what we've been talking about is Shmona Esrei. So this entire recording is going to be a rabbinic teaching about the order of the 19 blessings of the Shmona Esrei. What the rabbis want to try to do is to give an order of them that either relates to a scriptural source that seems to indicate that's that proper order, to the meaning of the number of the blessing connected to its content, or to the Seder HaGeula, the order of the coming of Mashiach, and the order of events, so the blessings go in that order. We'll see as we go. We begin. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught, Minayin she'omrim avot. From where do we know that we say avot, which is the first blessing, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? How do we know that we say that blessing? Shenemar, as it says, and this is in Tehillim Chavtet, which is Mizmor LeDavid. And there it says three times the word Havu LaShem, in other words, Davin to Hashem. First it says, Havu LaShem B'nei Elim. Give thanks to Hashem, the children of the strong ones. Not the children of God, but the children of the strong ones. And we identify the Elim, the strong ones, as the Avot, as our forefathers. So the first blessing is related to the Avot. Uminayin she'omrim Gvurot. And where do you know that we say the next blessing, which is Gvurot? The strength of God is reflected in His ability to make living things dead and to bring dead things back to life. So that's we end that blessing with Mechayei HaMetim, that He is the reviver of the dead. So the next phrase in Mizmor LeDavid, after it says Havu LaShem B'nei Elim, it says Havu LaShem Kavod Va'oz, give to Hashem honor and strength. So that Oz, the strength, goes to Gvurot. Uminayin She'omrim Kedushot, and how do you know that the next blessing is Kedushot? It says it's Ata Kadosh V'Shim HaKadosh, and we finish Hakel HaKadosh. Shenemar, as it says, the next phrase, Havu LaShem Kevod Shemo, Hishtach Havu LaShem Bahadras Kodesh. So we have in order there, B'nei Elimar Avot, Kavod Va'oz is Gvurot, and Bahadrat Kodesh is Kedushot. So we have there the three Havus in the beginning of chapter 29 of Tehillim are the first three blessings of the Shmona Esrei, which go together. Those must all be said together, and they don't change. So those three are fine. Then now we go on to those are usually called the Rishonot, the first three blessings. Then we go on to the Emtsa'iot. The middle blessings during the week are a series of petitions or prayers to God to take care of our needs. On Shabbat and Yom Tov, it's a little bit different. So here we're assuming this is the weekday, Amidah. Umara ulomar bina achar kedusha. And why did they see fit to put the next blessing, which is the blessing of understanding, Atachone la Adam Da'at Umilamid la Enosh Bina, you gave to human beings intelligence. Why does Bina come Achar Kedusha, right after the blessing of Ata Kadosh? Shenemar, as it says in a pasuk in Yishayahu Chavtet, Isaiah 29, Vihigdishu et Kedosh Yaakov et Elohei Yisrael Yaritzu, and they sanctified the Holy One of Jacob and the God of Israel they gave praise to. The Samichle, and the next pasuk right after that, these are the last two pasukim in that chapter, it says, V'yadu'u to'ei ruach, those who were mistaken in spirit, bina, came to have wisdom. So you have the Hikdishu in the first pasuk, and bina right afterwards. The Yerushalmi gives a different explanation for this. It says that because the blessing of intelligence should be the first one in the middle blessings, because without intelligence, how can you have prayer? You have to start with intelligence. So it gives an idea that it should be the beginning of the middle blessings. Here we're saying it should connect to the blessing that immediately comes before. In this particular teaching of the rabbis, we try to give a connection to all, we try to create a chain of all 19 blessings. So it wants to connect the third blessing of Kedusha to the fourth blessing of Bina. Okay, the blessing after Bina, the next one is the blessing of Tshuva. That after we do a sin, we should repent. So he says, Umara ulomar tshuva achar bina. Why do we put the blessing of repentance after the blessing of intelligence? Dichtiv, as it is written, ulevo yavin, his heart will understand. So that's bina. Vishav, and then he will do tshuva, v'rafalo, and then he will be healed. So that we're going to see that that blessing is the blessing of refuah. Now, let's say bina is the fourth blessing, tshuva is the fifth blessing. Refuah doesn't come all the way until the eighth blessing. So we'll have to see why, even though it comes, it's supposed to come right after tshuva, so it should be the sixth blessing, it gets bumped down the line all the way to eight. But we'll come back to that in a second. In the meantime, here we see that we should have bina followed by tshuva. Ihachi, asks the Gemara, lema refuah batra de tshuva. Let's put refuah right after tshuva, because in the pasuk it says vishav v'rafalo. Lo sol kadatach, don't think that way, dichtiv, because it's written in another verse. This is chapter 55 in Isaiah, perek nun hei, v'yashuv el Hashem, they will do tshuva to Hashem, v'irachamehu, he will have mercy on them, v'el Elokeinu, and to our God, ki yarbe lisloach, because he is magnanimous in giving atonement. So instead, forgiveness. So what we're going to have right after the blessing of tshuva is the blessing of forgiveness. And in fact, that is the next blessing. After harotze b'tshuva, we do slach lanu. And that's the sixth blessing. Umay chazit, asked the Gemara, desamchid aha, smocha ha. Why? How do you know which one you should connect to? Which one should you follow? Should you connect it, to slicha, or should you connect tshuva to slicha or tshuva to refuah? So ktav krachrina. Well, there's another verse that tells us that we should put them together, and it says like this. This is Tehillim Kuf Gimel, Psalms 103. Hasoleach l'chol avonaychi, the one who forgives you for all your sins. Harofe l'chol tachluaychi, he is the one who heals you from all of your way of all of your woes. So here you have slicha coming before refuah, and then hagoel mishachar chayechi, and then you have geula, which comes after that. And as we'll see in a minute, Geula also ends up coming before refuah, even though in this pasuk we don't have it. But we'll see that in a second. So in the meantime, here what we're saying is that slicha should come before refuah. So bina is 4, that's intelligence, followed by tshuva is 5, followed by slicha is 6, and then presumably we should go on to refuah for 7. Lememra, de geula urafua batar slichahu. Oh, before we even get to that, he says lememer. This is to say, both in this pasuk in Tehillim, both geula and refua come after slicha. Okay, vehakativ, but doesn't it write veshav v'rafalo? It says immediately, you should do tshuva and then have refua right away. This is the question that we've been dealing with. So he says, hahu lav refua de tachaluim hi. That is not referring to the refuah of sickness, ela refuah de slichahi. It's referring to the healing of slicha. So that refuah is part of the process of slicha, and it goes together with it. The other refuah in this other pasuk from Tehillim, where it says, hasoleach l'chol avonaychi, harofe l'chol tachluaychi, that is the refuah of tachaluim, and that's the one that we're referring to. And that refuah comes after slicha. Umara ulomar geula bashvit, and why then did they say the blessing of geula, which is goel, finishes goel Yisrael, right? It starts it ends goel Yisrael. Okay, so Amar Rava mitoch she'atidim ligael bishvit. Rava said because in the future we're going to be redeemed in the seventh year of a Shemitah cycle. There's going to be a 7-year cycle of the coming of David as the Mashiach. Lefikach kavua bishvit, and therefore they put geula in the seventh. Meaning, ideally, they probably should have put refuah as number 7 and geula as number 8. But the number 7 is connected to the idea of geula, so they put it in the 7th. And Rashi sends us to the Gemara in Sanhedrin 97a, Sanhedrin Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, where it talks about the 7 years of the coming of the Mashiach. In the first year, there will be a famine in some places, and then in the second year, the famine will get worse. And then in the third year, things, I think, get even worse. And then in the fourth year, it stabilizes. In the fifth year, things begin to be very, very prosperous. Or maybe it's in the third year they stabilize. The fourth year, they become prosperous. In the fifth year, they become extremely prosperous, and everybody starts to sing and dance and celebrate. So in the beginning of this cycle, everything is horrible, and everybody's starving. But a few years later, everybody is full of food and celebrating. And then in the sixth year, there starts to be a call that the Mashiach is coming. And then in the seventh year, the war breaks out between those who want to oppose the Mashiach and the Jews, all the anti-Semites. And then finally, at the end of the seventh year, Motzei Shavit, at the very end of the seventh year, as the seventh year ends, the Mashiach comes. So it says that's the seven-year process by which the Mashiach comes. And you could argue that we should have put the Geula in the eighth year, because really, the Mashiach is not going to come until the seventh year is over. But they identified it with that the actual coming of it is the seventh year. And we'll see in a minute that they wanted to put Refuah in the eighth. Here's how the Gemara says it. Ve'amar Mar, didn't Mar say, b'shishit kolot, in the sixth year there will be voices, there will be a rumor that Mashiach is coming. B'shvi'it milchamot, in the seventh year there will be wars. B'motza'e shvi'it ben David ba, and then at the end of the seventh year, ben David will come. So the Gemara answers, Milchama nami atchalta de geulahi. The war itself, and actually winning the war, is the beginning of the geula, and therefore we associate the geula with the seventh year and not with the eighth year, even though David doesn't actually arrive on the scene until the eighth year is beginning. In addition, Umara uloma refuah b'shminit. So now finally we get to refuah, the blessing of refuah, which we've been talking about since the blessing of tshuva. Why did it get pushed all the way down the road to the eighth blessing, or to the eighth blessing? Rabbi Acha mitoch shenitna mila b'shminit. Rabbi Acha says because the mitzvah of circumcision was given on the eighth day. Shetzricha refuah, and the baby needs to heal from its surgery of circumcision. Lefikach kavua bashmini. Therefore, they established the blessing of healing for the eighth blessing to connect to circumcision. Okay, umara'u lomar birkat hashanim batshit. And then, why did they put the blessing of prosperity? It's called birkat hashanim, which is the blessing of the years, because it mentions that. Bless Hashem this year. But what it means is that Hashem should give us prosperity, physical prosperity. We should have money this year. So why is that the ninth blessing? Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri said, "Kineged mafkiyei she'arim." This blessing is a corresponding to the merchants who drive up prices to defraud the poor, people who take advantage by raising prices. Dichtiv, as it is written in Tehillim, chapter 10, verse 15, Shvor Zeroa Rasha Vara. You should break the arm of the wicked. And if you look in that Mizmor, as Rashi points out, you'll see that it's talking about people who lie in wait to trap the poor. And he particularly means that these are not the kinds of robbers who go after wealthy people to steal their possessions, but people who take advantage of the vulnerable. V'David ki amra b'tshi'id amra, and therefore when David said this, he put it as the ninth chapter of Psalms, and so because it's the ninth chapter of Psalms, we make it the ninth blessing in Shmona Esrei. Just a quick note about that, as we there is a problem, which because it's the tenth chapter of Psalms. So Rashi writes about that, but the Rashi is corrupted, and you have to use the version that is inserted in the margin that corrects the Rashi. Rashi basically says, but wait a minute, this is the 10th psalm, not the 9th psalm, and you said it's supposed to be the 9th blessing. But we have a teaching in another Gemara that that the first two psalms, Ashrei, it begins with Ashrei, and Lama Rag Shu Agoyim are really one psalm, so you can combine the two of them. So even though it's listed in our psalms as the 10th chapter, since we combine 1 and 2, it really is only the ninth chapter, and that's how it fits in. And that works with another drasha as well, because the 19th psalm ends, let's just go to it really quickly, ends with Yihyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi V'Yoni B'Lefanecha, which is what we say right before we start Shmona Esrei. That's the end of the 19th psalm. And then the next chapter starts with Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara, Hashem shall answer you on your day of trouble. So we say there's a connection between Geula and Tefillah. And we want that connection to be in the 18th and 19th. In our list of Tehillim, it's between 19 and 20, but if you put the first two together and you move it back, then it's 18 and 19, and it is an explanation for Shmona Esrei that Geula and Tefillah have to go together. Okay, just while we're stopped, before we continue on, I will note that if you want to see another way of breaking this down, which is not in the Gemara, but is a conceptual breakdown of it. You can look in the beginning of the Koren Sax Siddur, and Rabbi Sachs gives a beautiful explanation for how to divide up all of the blessings. Okay, we are in the third line up from the really wide lines towards the bottom of the page. Umara ulomar kibbutz galiot la'achar birkat hashanim. And why did they see fit to put the next blessing, which is kibbutz galiot, the ingathering of the exiles, all the Jewish people coming back to Israel, la'achar birkat hashanim, after the blessing for prosperity? Dichtiv, as it is written, v'atem harei Yisrael, anpechem titenu, uper yechem tis'u la'ami Yisrael ki karvu lavo. This is a verse from Yechezkel chapter 36, and it basically says that the people will gather back into Israel at a time of prosperity. So it's not an absolute guarantee that prosperity will lead to the ingathering of the exiles, but the ingathering of the exiles will happen at the same time as prosperity will happen. V'kevan shenitkabtzu galiyot, when the exiles become ingathered, na'ase din birushayim. What the next thing that will happen is that there will be a judgment of all the wicked people. As it says, v'yashiva yadi alayich, I will return my hand over you, v'etzrof kabor sigayich, and I will purify you of all the dross. Uchtiv, and it says in the same chapter, v'yashiva shoftayich kivarishona, and I will place your judges upon you like they were in the beginning. In other words, once the exiles are gathered in, there will be a process of judgment. They'll reestablish a Sanhedrin that will punish the wicked people in Israel. Okay, so now it is interesting, some of the commentaries point out that it doesn't actually mention punishing the wicked. The next line in the Gemara says, V'kevan shenase din min harashayim, since they do a judgment of the wicked, kalu haposhim, then all of the wicked people will perish. But in the blessing of Hashiva shoftayich kivarishona, which is the blessing number 11, it never actually mentions the wicked people at all. But one could assume that when you're doing judgment, the people that you'll be judging are the, you know, not righteous people. And then the Gemara adds in, the kolel zedim imahem, and it includes these really terrible wicked people among them. And I think it throws in that line because, as we know, later on, originally there were 18 blessings. That's why we call it Shmona Esrei, the 18. But at a certain point, Shmuel HaKatan added in the 19th blessing, which was a special blessing, V'la Malshinim, to punish the wicked doers and the people who turned Jews into the government. So he adds in here, V'kol el zedim imahem. Part of the judgment process is punishing all of these wicked people, and that is, the so to speak, the 19th blessing. It actually becomes the 12th blessing and pushes all the rest of them down one more so that when you get to the end, it's 19. Shenemar, as it says, v'shever poshim v'chataim yachdav, and the destruction of the negligent ones and the sinners will happen together. V'ozvei Hashem, you have to add in those words, yichlu, those who abandon Hashem will perish. V'kevan shekalu ha-poshim, once the wicked ones perish, mitromemet keren tzadikim, then the value of the righteous people rises up. Then you can see the righteous people once the wicked people are taken out of the way. And that's why the next blessing is going to be ala tzadikim. Dichtiv, as it is written, v'chol karnei rishaim agadeya, and I will cut off the horn of the wicked people, to romamna karnot tzadik, and then the horns of the righteous people will be lifted up. The kolel geri hatzedek ima tzadikim, and it includes, along in that blessing, which we do include, righteous converts to Judaism are included with the righteous as well. Shenemar, as it says, mipnei sevata kum, this is in Vayikra, V'hadarta p'nei zekein, before those who are elderly you shall rise, which is what it says on Israeli buses, so that you can leave seats for the elderly in the front. V'hadarta p'nei zekein, and you shall value the face of the elderly. V'samichle, and then it includes, or it connects to these righteous elderly people, v'chiyagur itchem ger, when you have among you a convert who lives among you, so that we create a hekesh or a smicha between the converts and the righteous people to include them together. I don't know if that's such a strong proof, but that's the way the Gemara says it. V'heichan mitromemet karnam b'Yerushalayim. The next blessing after Ala Tzadikim is the blessing of Jerusalem. How do we know that there should be a connection between the righteous and Yerushalayim? Shenemar, as it says, Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim, seek out the peace of Jerusalem. Yishlayu ohavayich, those who love you shall prosper. So the right we mean here in prosper, not in the sense of physical prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. Those who love Jerusalem will prosper. In other words, Yerushalayim will be filled with righteous people at this time. V'kevan shenivnet Yerushalayim, and when Jerusalem is rebuilt, Ba David, then the Mashiach ben David will come to Jerusalem, which is already built for him. Shenemar, as it says, Achar Yashuvu bnei Yisrael ubikshu et Hashem Elokeihem ve'et David Malkam. And there, afterwards, the children of Israel will return and they will seek Hashem, your God, and David, their king. In other words, David is coming after there is already a Yerushalayim. V'kevan sheba David, and once David comes, ba'ta tefillah, then tefillah will come. Shenemar, as it says, v'haviotim al har kodshi, and he will bring him to the my holy mountain. V'simachtim b'vei tefillati, and they will rejoice in the house of my prayer, which basically means the Beit HaMikdash. So the blessing after David, at Samach David, is the blessing of Shomea Tefillah, and the Gemara here wants to understand that as prayer in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, it is interesting, the order here is a questionable order, and there is some dispute about exactly the order of things that will happen when the Mashiach comes. Rav Shlomo Goren, in his essays, writes that he had an argument with the Lubavitcher Rebbe about this, about what it means that Yerushalayim is built. He argues there's no blessing for the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It's put together into the blessing of building Yerushalayim is also right. It says Yerushalayim yechaber achmim tashuv v'tishkom b'tocha kasher dibata uvneota b'karav b'yamenu binyan olam. In the middle of the blessing, it says in Jerusalem you will build a binyan olam, the Beit HaMikdash. It never even has its own special blessing, but you could say that what has to happen is that the exiles will be ingathered, kibbutz galiot, and then the Mashiach will come, and the Mashiach is supposed to wipe out Amalek and then build Beit HaMikdash. Here, it sounds like what has to happen is that there will be an ingathering of the exiles, the Beit HaMikdash will be built, and only then the Mashiach will come. So the reason this was an interesting machloket between Rav Goren and the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Rav Goren felt like the stage of all the Jews coming to Israel in the Hakamat Hamdina, in Israel becoming a state, was a stage in the redemption, that the exiles had been ingathered, and that the next step should happen was the building of Jerusalem, when they were building up Jerusalem, and the Mashiach would come. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt that unless they built the Beit HaMikdash at that time, then the Mashiach wouldn't come. So he felt that this all the Jewish people coming to Jerusalem could not be considered a step in the redemption process, because it was not accompanied with the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Anyway, so an interesting question how the way in which we daven every day should be connected to the stages of events in how the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt when Mashiach comes. We're on the fourth line of Daf Yud Chet. Let's just finish up the Shmona Esrei. V'kevan shebat tefillah, once you have tefillah in the Beit HaMikdash, bat avodah, then you're going to have the sacrificial service will be restored. This is the blessing of Ritzei, which is the 17th blessing. Shenemar, as it says, olotehem v'zivchehem l'ratzon al mizbechi, their olot, their elevation offerings, and their meat offerings for my favor will be on my altar. V'kevan shebat avodah, once you have the sacrificial service, bat todah, then you have thanksgiving, or either thanksgiving offerings, todot, shenemar zoveach todah yechabdeni, or it means that after you give the sacrifice, you have to thank Hashem in advance for having accepted it. Umara'u lomar birkat kohanim achar hoda'ah, and why did they see fit then to say the blessing of the kohanim after the Hoda'ah. So Ritzeh is the 17th blessing, and Modim is the 18th blessing. And then, not in the silent Shemona Esrei, but in the repetition of the Amidah, we do the blessing of the Kohanim after the Modim blessing. Dichtiv, as it is written in Vayikra, Vayisa Aaron et Yadav el Ha'am, and Aaron lifted up his hands to the people. In other words, he was blessing them. Vayivarchem, and well, then it says, and he blessed them. Vayered, and he went down, Me'asot ha'chatat v'ha'olah v'ashlamim, and then he went down from having done the chatat offering, the ola offering, and the shlamim offering. Ema, I might say, kodem avodah, that he should have, that we should say the blessing of the Kohanim before the avodah. After all, in the verse, it mentions that he blesses them, and then it mentions that he goes down after bringing the offering. So perhaps we should do the blessing of the Kohanim beforehand. Lo sol kadatach, don't think that way. Dichtiv, as it said, vayered me'asot ha'chatat, mikativ la'asot. It didn't say that he did the offerings after he blessed them. It said me'asot, which I translated as from having done already. Me'asot k'tiv. So he had already done the offerings, and only after the offerings he blessed them. But perhaps we should put the blessing right after the offerings. V'leimra achar ha'avoda. Let's say the blessing of the Kohanim after Ritzeh. Why do we have to wait until after Modim? Lo sol kadatach, don't think that way. Dichtiv zoveach todah. As it says, the offering should be followed by todah. So Ritzeh and Modim should be connected to each other. My chazit is samacht ahai. Well, why would you see to connect it to that one? Smoch ahai, connected to this one. Meaning we have a strong connection between Ritzeh and Birka Kohanim and between Ritzeh and Modim. Which one should we choose? Mistabra avoda vehoda chada miltahi. It makes sense that the sacrificial service and the thanking Hashem for the sacrificial service are one item. They go together. And therefore, you would say the Birkat Kohanim right afterwards, which is really a separate thing. Umara ulomar sim shalom achar Birkat Kohanim. And finally, the 19th and final blessing, which is the blessing of peace. Why did they see fit to say sim shalom after the Birkat Kohanim? Dichtiv, as it says, v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, and you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In other words, the blessing of the Kohanim is the Kohanim putting Hashem, the blessing of Hashem's name on the Jewish people. Bracha d'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. The blessing of Hashem is Shalom. Shenemar, Hashem yivarech et amo b'shalom. Hashem will bless his people with peace. Of course, the Birkat Kohanim also ends with Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. I don't know why it doesn't mention that connection as well, but the connection between Birkat Kohanim and the blessing of peace is clear, so that we conclude the 19th and final blessing of the Shemona Esrei with peace. We'll stop there on Yud Chet Amud Aleph and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.